The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you today?
Thanks.
Dr. Smith, today's topic is one that couldn't be more important to family and community health, and that is protecting youth from tobacco use, which has very serious health consequences. And before we introduce our guests, can you just review for us some of the statistics around youth tobacco use in Ulster County and New York State and the impacts?
Sure. Well, in New York State overall, we still have over 2 million people who smoke and over 35,000 high school students who smoke. In Ulster County, we have about 30,000 people who continue to smoke. And you know, we know that smoking kills about 28,000 adult New Yorkers every year. And nationwide, almost 500,000 Americans die every year. In fact, smoking kills more people every year than alcohol, illegal drug use, motor vehicle crashes, firearms, and HIV combined. And in addition, about 750,000 adults in New York State live with serious smoking-related illnesses. So smoking is most definitely one of our major causes for concern in New York State and in Ulster County, and we're working very actively to try to change those numbers.
And isn't it the case also that 4 out of 5 of the leading causes of premature death in Ulster County are due to smoking-related diseases?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we're very fortunate today to have a guest who is very actively involved in tobacco use prevention, and she is Julie Hart. She's director of the New York Government Relations of New York Government Relations for the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. Welcome, Julie.
Hi. Thanks, Dr. Smith. Thanks, Vin. Happy to be here today.
Yes. Welcome.
Julie, give our listeners a little background on the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network and what inspired you to get engaged in this type of work.
Sure. So this is really important work. The American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. I think everybody knows the American Cancer Society. And the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, we're the advocacy branch of the American Cancer Society. So we're the ones that go out there and try to change public policies and laws to try to benefit whole populations versus just an individual patient. So really, we're kind of, you know, people's voice and cancer patients' voice in different capitals and halls of government to try to get those cancer prevention policies enacted.
And there were several measures that were considered and some of which were passed by the New York State Legislature in the last session. Can you review those for us?
Sure. So tobacco control in general, Dr. Smith talked about, all right, the problems that we still have in Ulster County. And I think one of the things that's important to note is that a lot of people seem to think that we've won the war on tobacco. And everybody talks about, you know, back in the day when we used to smoke on airplanes. But the bottom line is that tobacco still takes an enormous toll on Ulster County residents and on New York State residents. So we're still pushing that it's really important because, you know, part of the reason is tobacco companies aren't investing less in their products. So we need to make sure that we're enacting strong policies. Now, at the state level, we did make some progress this year in particular, with a focus on e-cigarettes. So e-cigarettes, there's been a lot of concern, particularly among kids. So 20% of high school kids report using e-cigarettes, which is really scary because it undermines all of the great work that we've done to try to lower smoking rates. And it's kind of renormalizing the act of smoking again. So we have 20% of kids doing that. So there was a couple of bills passed this year that have been signed into law by Governor Cuomo. One would prohibit the use of e-cigarettes on on school grounds. So he signed that earlier this year. And then just recently, he signed a bill to ensure that e-cigarette use is prohibited wherever smoking is prohibited. So whether it's at a workplace to protect workers, same with workers in restaurants and bars, which is really important because that, again, it helps so that we're not kind of renormalizing behavior and undermining all the progress that we've made.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that e-cigarettes really are meant to be a delivery system for nicotine, right, which, of course, is that strongly addictive component in tobacco smoke. And, you know, the cigarette companies have been very aggressively marketing that to basically to appeal to the adolescent audience. And they've been quite successful because there's been a doubling, I think, of e-cigarettes use among adolescents within a year or two. So, you know, with that sort of actively subsidized campaign, we certainly have to keep our defenses up and work just as actively to confront that.
Right. And the Surgeon General has said that nicotine use in any form by kids is not safe. So, you know, that's kind of the gold standard for us as well. So, you know, we need to heed the advice of the Surgeon General, not tobacco companies.
Right. It's almost like a game of whack-a-mole, right? We get the youth smoking rates down for smoking cigarettes, and then tobacco companies come back with another clever, cool, so-called cool way to use.
Right, they have another tactic, something else up their sleeve to try to get kids hooked and started.
Right. Yeah. And Julie, there was one measure that didn't make it all the way through the legislative process, and that is really the topic of today's discussion, and that is raising the age for the purchase of tobacco in New York from 18 to 21. Why is that so critical?
Right. So there was legislation at the state level to raise the age for the sale of tobacco products from 18 to 21. We've been very supportive, along with a number of other public health organizations. And, you know, the reason being that the longer we can delay initiation in terms of kids beginning and picking up their first cigarette, the less likely kids are to actually become smokers. Now, 95% of smokers actually begin before the age of 21. So if we can stop them before that time, there's very little chance that those kids will ever pick up a cigarette.
Well, we know that the brain is still developing during the latter part of those adolescent years, 18, 19, 20, and much more susceptible to the effects of addiction during that time period.
Right.
So that if they do start at that point, they're much more likely to become addicted and to become lifelong smokers.
Right. Yeah. You know, and kids are more likely to be able to get tobacco products from a social source, so from one of their friends. Now, a 16-year-old is much more likely to know an 18-year-old and be able to start this addiction, but a 16-year-old is far less likely to know a 21-year-old. So this, again, it's this policy is really about, all right, how can we stop those kids that have never picked up their first cigarette or their first e-cigarette or their first cigar? How can we protect them from a lifelong addiction?
That's a really interesting point. And even though this measure didn't make it all the way through the legislature to the governor's desk, have counties or other municipalities taken their own local action in this regard?
Yeah, we've actually seen a lot of work done at the local level. At the state level, there are bills in both houses, which we're very happy about, and we have majority sponsors in both houses. Both bills did make it out of the health committees in their respective houses, but they weren't voted on by the full body. So we did make some progress there. Now, where we did see a lot of progress was with different local governments. So different counties, different towns have acted. And we now have 14 different localities in New York State that have enacted laws to increase the age for the sale of tobacco products to 21, which is really important because evidence shows that, you know what, this will reduce smoking rates. So that's really important. And, you know, in addition to that, out of those 14 localities, approximately 55% of the state actually live in those localities. So the majority of New Yorkers are residing in areas that have a tobacco 21 law, and it's working. So these things are being implemented right now. So it's definitely something, you know, that we should follow suit with.
Mm-hmm. Well, here in Ulster County, we, through the county executives, our county executive Mike Hines' direction, we passed a local law over a year ago that would restrict any new retail tobacco retail licenses being issued within 1,000 feet of any K through 12 school in Ulster County. And the reason was because of the impact of tobacco marketing, tobacco companies spend millions and millions of dollars every day really aggressively marketing their products at the point of purchase, where,
right,
the places where our kids frequent.
Yep, the places where kids see, that's where you're going to see those marketing and that ads.
Right, so making it more difficult for them to purchase at those places would certainly have an impact.
Right, absolutely. So this would really build upon that law and be a next great step if Ulster County did this. So what's great is that, you know, Ulster has been a little bit more progressive than some other counties where, you know, you guys did calorie labeling years before others did calorie labeling. So your consumers have the benefit of that. And now you've done the local licensing, which is really important, and the, you know, area around schools. So I think other localities are looking to you in that respect. So this would really build upon the progress that Ulster has made. And it's really a great step. And you get a lot of bang for your buck. The evidence is there, and the evidence shows that increasing the age for the sale of tobacco products will reduce smoking rates. So we know that. So this is a really important health measure. And you know what's nice is that, you know, sometimes, you know, when we're looking at policies, we'll say, how much does this cost? How much does this cost? Well, this doesn't cost Ulster anything to do this. You know, this is a simple policy change that will protect kids from a lifetime addiction in the future and hopefully save them from getting, you know, possibly cancer in the future, possibly heart disease or a stroke, you know, lots of different chronic illnesses, numerous types of cancer, not just lung cancer. So this is a really great policy opportunity that Ulster has right now.
It's one of the best things we can do, really, to, as you said, to really improve the health of not only our adults, but our children in Ulster County. And certainly as a physician and as Commissioner of Health, I'm certainly solidly behind that hope that we can increase the age to 21.
And we know, too, from our activities in trying to get addicted adult smokers to quit smoking, how difficult that is with all of the cessation classes and all of that, that it's far easier, well, not to say easier, far more effective to keep young people from smoking in the first place than it is to get addicted adult smokers to quit.
Right. Right. You know, it's one of the most addictive substances there is. So, you know, we'd much rather have kids not begin this addiction. And, you know, we don't like to call it a habit because it's not a habit. It truly is an addiction. So let's help them before they get to that point. So if we can we can prevent them from picking up that first cigarette, that would be a huge success and would really help towards promoting public health in Ulster County.
It really seems like a no-brainer. And we want to hear a lot more about this. But first, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
When it comes to surgery, you always want to be in the best surgical hands. Now, thanks to WMC Health Physicians at Lake Katrine, a member of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, it's easy to find an expert surgeon close to home, featuring 8 highly respected doctors in 6 unique areas of practice. WMC Health Physicians at Lake Katrine is the latest way we're advancing care here in the Hudson Valley. The surgeons at WMC Health Physicians are leaders in the fields of breast surgery, general surgery, neurosurgery, surgical oncology, thoracic surgery, and vascular surgery, all equipped with the latest technology and approaches for the best possible care. And because they're part of WMC Health, your surgery can be performed at a location most convenient for you. Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital in Poughkeepsie or Health Alliance Hospitals in Kingston. Another way, we're advancing care here. For more information, visit wmchealth.org/Lake Katrine.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Julie Hart from the American Cancer Society. Julie, we know that the loss of one life is, you cannot put a dollar value on that, but we do know that a tremendous amount of money gets expended in the overall costs, not only healthcare costs, direct and indirect associated with smoking. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that for us?
Sure. And I think it's really important to just kind of reiterate what you were stating about, you know, and certainly we're here for health reasons in terms of the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. But the reality is that there is a fiscal cost to smoking. And I think that that's important when you're talking about healthcare costs. And, you know, healthcare is such an important topic right now, you know, in Ulster and New York State and nationwide. Now, people seem to be under this misconception that, you know, the state makes money from smoking and from smokers, which isn't the case. We do have a high cigarette tax, and we do have a tax on other tobacco products. However, the amount that we pay as a society for smoking on the other end is much higher than actually what we take in terms of tobacco revenue. So the estimates are for annual health care expenditures in the state caused directly by tobacco use, that it's over $10 billion. Now, $6.6 billion of that is borne by Medicaid. So those are costs that, you know, everyone inherits. And Medicaid, as you know, that's part federal, part state, and part local. But this means that everyone's tax dollars, whether you're a smoker or not, smoking does cost everyone.
And this next question really feeds into that one, is that are all segments of our population impacted equally by smoking, or and are they equally vulnerable to the effects of tobacco marketing, or some more than others?
Well, certainly every segment of our population is still impacted by tobacco use. But what we're really seeing is, you know, with that tobacco marketing that, you know, they're stealthy. They've got a lot of money for marketing. They know what will be effective. And what we're seeing is that low-income communities, that's where smoking rates are still highest. That's kind of their target population, low income, those that haven't graduated high school, and those that report poor mental health status. So it's really our most vulnerable populations that tobacco companies are picking on and targeting to become their next generation of smokers. That's where, you know, kids in a low-income community are more likely to see tobacco advertising, for instance. So certainly while we've made progress across the board, there's a lot of concern that tobacco use really is a significant health equity problem.
Okay. Well, I just came across a statistic that's really quite mind-boggling, that the cigarette industry spends about $1 million every hour on cigarette advertising, $1 million an hour, which amounts to about $9 billion a year.
I know, right. Imagine if we had that on the public health side.
$1 million an hour.
Yeah. And, you know, and as you know, Dr. Smith, the adult smoking rate in Ulster County is almost 7 points higher than the New York State average. And for households under $25,000 a year in household income, that number jumps up to 24%, which really speaks to the, you know, the issue of Medicaid as well. Julie mentioned that how high those costs are. The Ulster County local taxpayer share of Medicaid is $40 million a year. A good chunk of that can be attributed to smoking-related diseases. So there's very definitely a financial impact.
Right, absolutely. And actually, the low-income smoking rate in Ulster is about 36%, which is kind of mind-boggling that it really is that high. But again, this is what the target audience for tobacco companies. So not only do you have the adults, but you'll have the kids that live in these households that will be impacted and more likely to grow up in a household with a smoker as well.
And how much better would it be if that money from that household was spent really on healthier foods and fruits and vegetables and other things that would benefit a lifestyle, as opposed to just wasting it on something as deleterious to the health as cigarette smoking.
Right, absolutely.
And not to mention that businesses would be spending less money for health insurance premiums, taxpayers would be spending less money for the preventable health care costs, which could be plowed back into jobs, into community development, economic development, and really raise standards for everyone. And Julie, we've heard a number of criticisms about the prospect of raising the age to 21. Some come from folks who are worried that small convenience stores and mom and pop corner stores might be negatively impacted, while others say that, well, if you can enlist in the military before 21, why shouldn't you be able to freely buy tobacco products?
Right. And, you know, throughout New York State, we've actually heard similar arguments in each of the localities that have considered tobacco 21 laws. But really happy to say it's been a pretty small minority that has voiced these concerns. And partly because when you look at tobacco strictly from a business perspective, and you look at the ages of 18, 19, and 20, it's such a small market share that only 2% of tobacco sales nationwide are from that age group. However, if that age group becomes future smokers, then that's a much different story where they become kind of, I guess you would say, the majority there. But again, that market only actually purchases a very small amount of the cigarettes and tobacco products sold nationwide. So we've really been able to overcome that argument in all of the different localities where we've done this. And in addition, you know, we've also heard the arguments that, you know what, all right, if somebody is in the military, then they should have the right to be able to do this. And, you know, we've really been able to counter that. And we've said, you know, this is really about public health. This is about protecting public health. And, you know, the men and women in our military protect us, and they deserve the same protection from the tobacco industry that we are going to afford everyone else. So we would not want to exclude them from this protection. I think that's a really important thing to note. Traditionally, we have seen that men and women in the military have almost been targets for the tobacco industry. They certainly were years ago. And it's something that the military even has concerns about. Department of Defense has issued a memo saying that, you know, tobacco use impacts military readiness. They don't want to see their men and women using tobacco products. So the bottom line is that, you know, these men and women, they deserve the same protection as everyone else. So we should not shortchange the men and women in the military.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when you think about the huge spike in smoking that occurred during World War II, right after World War II, is because the tobacco companies, they put free cigarettes into K rations, and millions of GIs came back addicted to smoking. So here you put someone in the most stressful situation imaginable, right? Combat with cigarettes, and you know, the result is a huge number of addicted people for generations, really. So that's really critical. As you know, Dr. Smith, our own county executive, Mike Hine, who's really been an inspiration and a true leader in all of our efforts towards community health, said in his State of the County address, his last one, that in the absence of state action, that Ulster County would be working to take its own action in terms of passing a local law to raise the age to 21. Critically important. Why do you, from your unique perspective as a both a health commissioner and a doctor, why do you think that this is really important for our community?
Well, because certainly of all the health-related issues that smoking is related to, as Julie said before, cancer, emphysema, and other respiratory illnesses, and heart disease and stroke and cardiovascular diseases, one of the major killers in Ulster County. So, you know, certainly if we can convince our legislators to accept the evidence that's out there that, you know, smoking is killing and it is harming the health and well-being of residents, that they would also see the wisdom of changing the law on the local level. Some of our counties, neighboring counties, have done that with good results. And we do believe that the majority of people in Ulster County would support that.
And there are very few instances where you know that if you did a particular thing that you could have a very immediate and significant impact. This is really one of them, because smoking does do a lot of damage, probably far more than all of those other causes that you mentioned, and really responsible for the leading causes of premature death in Ulster County. So critically important.
It would certainly be a legacy, a gift, as it were, to the community to do this, to help them live healthier, more productive lives.
And to the future, right?
Exactly.
Our children are our future. Julie, if our listeners want more information on this topic and really want to educate and inform themselves, where do they go?
Well, the best place to go would just simply be our website, which is www.acscan.org/ny. I know that's not an easy one, so I'll say it again. www.acscan.org/ny. And we've got some information there about, you know, how they can get engaged on tobacco control efforts and things like that. And our contact information is right there. So certainly we would encourage people to go there and to get engaged, because when it comes to tobacco fights, you know, we know standing up to the tobacco industry is not an easy feat. And it hasn't been an easy feat for those localities that have done this, but we're really proud of those that have done Tobacco 21. And Ulster County, you should get, you get a lot of credit and kudos to you for making the efforts for doing this, because ultimately you are going to protect kids from a lifelong addiction. So we know standing up to the tobacco industry is not something that's easy to do. So thank you for taking the time and for the courage for standing up for residents and not tobacco interests.
Well, thank you so much for all the work you and your colleagues do throughout New York State and for really assisting us here in Ulster County on this critical
Absolutely. We're trying. It's a tough industry to face.
And yes, those of you who are listening out there, please stay tuned over the coming months as we begin to move our own local law through the legislative process. And we're going to look for each and every one of you at our public hearings to support this important work. So thank you. That's about all the time we have for today. Please tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and your community healthy and strong with Healthy Ulster Radio.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.